The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Wednesday, August 26th. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. And once again, this is C.A. Nuri and I shall be your host for the day. I have a guest who is joining me via Zoom, Ms. Siobhan Johnson. And she's going to be joining as I slow things down to have a layman's conversation about education. The grade is the grade. We used to the grade. The grade hasn't changed much over the past 40 years. I think, I think it's now 31, 32 years since we've been doing BGCSE, right? When we moved from GCEs to have our own examination. Yeah, it's been standard. It's stagnant in terms of growth and development. But we have a consistent grade of pass. You notice what word I used there? I used the word pass. I'm not going to be talking about A, B, C, D, E, F. I think it stops at G for the BGCSE because we know that the median is a D, but D means pass. It means that the person who took the exam understood what was taught. They can regurgitate, they can computate, they can ascertain, come to a conclusion that they understand the information. So we can use the word pass. The majority of the Bahamas is at a passing level for the BGCSE. We have some issues in particular subjects. In the headlines, say math passing rate, simply not acceptable. We're going to have a conversation about that. We're going to have a conversation about schools. We're going to have a conversation about expectation and this new narrative that education doesn't matter, right? People can survive without education and get a good job in the Bahamas, right? There's a narrative, a growing narrative, where people are seeming to diminish seeking higher learning. This is completely contrary to 30-plus years ago when Bahamians went to night school. Night school is a part of who we were, right? To improve oneself. Education meant something. You could be a mechanic, and the mechanic went to night school and to get a GC or O-level certificate because the mechanic understood that that is important for them to excel. Same as the plumber, same as anyone who is in the government system, education was a culturally ingrained in us. It's no longer that because we have too many people making excuses for not pursuing education. Say, man, education is important, you know. They've now diminished trade schools, saying that's an alternative to education. Whereas I thought trade school and education was the same. It's an academic school and it's a trade school, right? But you're supposed to be able to read and write. When I was in school, some of the highest high flyers took trade. Not that they could not compete with academics of English and math, because they still had the A in English and math, but they wanted technology. They said engineering, so they did all kind of technical plumbing type of thing, but that's what they were pursuing. But education was important to them. They still took all the GCEs, and then they took the technical drawing and whatever it is. But something has changed in our narratives where too many Bahamians say, man, education is not important, or Bahamians do not need to get a decent pass grade in O levels. O levels are not important, and they give that soul narrative. I survive without any O levels. I survive without being able to read and write. I survive without having no appreciation for education. I'm doing well. They want the general populace to believe that that is the norm. And something is wrong with that narrative because education is supposed to continue to be important to us. We want our children to succeed and not just succeed by floating to get the passing grade. We want them to at least get a C. I want my plumber to be able to read and write at a C level. I wonder when they write to say you need this particular pipe, they're able to spell the pipe what I need properly. Is that bad? If they say they need a 1/4-inch pipe ring, whatever it is, I wanted them to be correct because they understand that that's what it need. And I don't go to the plumbing place and say I want a 1/4-inch ring and it actually meant 1/3. because they don't understand math. And I bought the wrong thing and I got to carry it back because my plumber does not understand math at a basic level, at a C level. I just want my plumber. I want my cashier to be able to compute at a more than a passing grade, a C grade. I want her to be able to say, hey, ma'am, this is a 10% discount. This is a 35% discount. And she able to manipulate the cash register. Don't have to look at no pictures. And say, times 0.16 will get the answer. And she'll be correct. And I don't say, ma'am, miss, you short me some dollars. This isn't right. You give me some extra money. I just want my cashier to be able to converse with me in like in a general education sphere. Shouldn't need to be brilliant, you know. But at least get a C grade. And if she can't get a C grade, a D grade, no, we're changing the word, a passing grade. So I say, yeah, man, she have sense. I believe, because my nationalist views, I think the Bahamas have the most competent people in the Caribbean. I might be vain. I might be promoting the Bahamas where like said, more than what we should be. But I think that we should be the leaders of the Caribbean. And in fact, I know, because I went to school in the States. I was, ahead in education than the Americans. It's white, black, Hispanic, all of them. I was in the upper percentile. And the Bahamians who were at the school where I was at were in the upper percentile than the majority. So I know we are as smart as Americans, if not smarter. We competent. We have it in us. So when people say, no, we don't need that education. You could getting a C is not important. And I said, no. Striving for a C should be the norm. And when your child did not get the C, you would say, were you feeling good that day? You made a couple of mistakes. No, man, small stuff. We could take that over. But I want you to get the C grade. You know, when once upon a time, you suppose you just take your exams over again. Oh, I see I've run fully downstairs. And I didn't remember that I had them as guests, and I appreciate that. Thanks very much, Kermit. I'll take a break and go and pick them up. Like someone's bringing them up? Good. No? They come in. Okay, no problem. I remember I was have them coming down. But let me join in my... Okay, Kermit's going to run downstairs in the meantime. And I'll continue this conversation until Renfully come up. Yes, sir. Good. They're doing their back-to-school program. It fits right into my segment. And I have Siobhan Johnson on the line also. She's going to be... Okay. She's going to be... join us now. So they're coming up. Okay, continue talking. Okay. I'm going back and forth. Okay, Siobhan, you on? You can hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, okay, I was going back and forth listening to Kermit as he instruct me on what's all happening. We have Renfully coming on and we're talking back to school too. And I want you to join in this conversation as I bring Renfully in. I have a number of texts. I have a number of texts also about this conversation. What should we be talking about in terms of education? Siobhan, are you still there? Are we going? I got you. Go ahead.
That was for me?
Yeah, that was for you. Go ahead.
Oh, I thought you were going to read the text.
Yeah. No, go ahead.
I mean, what I find interesting, so in my Rotary Club, East Nassau, we founded Project Read. And so you have the adult learners. And so what we should be talking about is how we got to catch it and we have to intervene from early, else you become a, barely functional adult from a literacy perspective. You don't want to get to be a grown adult and, people are taking advantage of you, getting you to sign contracts. Because you sign away your money, et cetera. Literacy and comprehension is very important. And then you now have moved into digital literacy. And I think the approach, like for me, as someone who has managed people in the workforce, you see it firsthand when someone can't comprehend, you have to give them the same instructions over and over. And going back to the skilled laborers, you're a carpenter or a contractor and you give instructions to the worker and they cost you money. So it's very important to have it, not just for having a certificate, but you need it for life. You need the skills that you're taught through a solid education for life.
And I want to bring this into the conversation because I'm going to include the representative from Ranfurly, the spokesperson for Ranfurly, because even her journey in terms of getting education and being sponsored is important in this narrative. But I want to also include this in this conversation that there are different types of schools in the Bahamas. And I'm not sure if Bahamians are even aware. There is a school called the Super Elite, because there were, once upon a time, it was just a term called elite schools. But there is a super elite school, and in terms of price tag, in terms of access to education and facilities and whatever it is. And there would be like the Windsor School, the King's College, King's College. What else would be?
Lyford Key
would be in elite school. And that's my guess from Ranfurly you speaking just now. And you can help me also, Siobhan, if you want to throw in a pitch in terms of elite schools. Then I'll call that the super elite. But then there's also elite schools.
And elite, now don't forget now, to me, Windsor and King's College would be what you call the super elite.
Yes, that's what I said, super elite. Go ahead.
St. Andrews and Lyford Key would be the elite. Then
go ahead.
We have the private schools, and then within the private schools.
You're going too quick because you missed a couple of schools. I'm just trying to hash things out, right?
Which one?
Because we call the super elites, we'd have it in elite schools, right? Mm-hmm. But also you have schools like Tamberley, you have schools like Genesis, you have schools like
Queen's College.
No, there won't be elite schools yet. No. No. Queen's College, you're not an elite school.
And we can get biased.
I understand. I give Siobhan the opportunity to explain why she distinguished St. Andrews from a super elite to an elite school, and so we can get a definition for elite, super elite, and then the leading schools in the Bahamas.
I don't know why I let you get me in trouble with that, because, you know, I guess probably segmentation in terms of cost would be the thing, because, you know, I would like to just disclaim that I think that every school, public and private, you can have an amazing education. So it's more about the experiences. Like my daughter and son went to Tambly, and what I loved about Tambly is that every day of the week there were activities. I didn't have to take them anywhere else. I could do something. So that was more convenience. It wasn't that, you know, if they went to QC or another school, they couldn't have the same thing, but I probably would have to drive all around the place to get it.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the leading schools inside the Bahamas where people, Bahamians, would embrace. What school you went to?
I went to Bahamas Academy and Temple.
You see, I go on quiet there, right? They're definitely good schools. They're definitely good schools. But I like to mention that Queen's College and St. Augustine's College is in a tier by themselves, right?
Yes.
And you, once upon a time, we had other schools like a St. John's, Aquinas, and a St. Anne's, who would also be in that grouping. But of recent, when you see the results in the BGCSEs, you see that Queen's College and St. Augustine's College is separate or a jump ahead of the pack. Would I be exaggerating there, or do you agree with me? Everybody going quiet on that.
I'm trying to get in trouble.
You're trying to get in trouble. And then after that, there'll be regular private schools, like a good school, like a Faith Temple, Temple Christian. What school you went to again?
Bahamas Academy.
And Bahamas Academy and all those schools like that. But I also want to join and say your experience. You worked, or you lived in the Ranfurly home for several years. Or maybe, how long again? Just give you a narrative again so I can talk about education towards that.
Okay, so Ranfurly, I entered at 12 years old, but I grew up in the system my entire life. I mean, I've been in and out with family, that sort of thing. Those didn't work. Those situations, but four children's homes my entire life, mm-hmm. all in Nassau.
And I wanted to know, how did you get access to education? Since we're talking about education, who paid for your education? Most of people in Ranfurly get private school education.
Yes, no? They do.
But explain that.
Okay, so I was very fortunate. I won't name specifics because it changed over the years. But the setup at Ranfurly is we cannot afford it because it takes about $800,000 to run our home for an entire year. And the government gives us a percentage of that, which is equivalent to 1 month out of the entire year. So we couldn't afford it, but there are families and there are companies on the island that would sponsor a child's education. So they would say, give me the complete breakdown of what it takes and what it costs for the tuition, the school uniform, the books, and we will cover that child's tuition and the expenses associated, the costs associated with the education.
And these are local institutions and local Bahamians or expats here in Bahamas?
So you will have like an insurance company, for example, would say, I can sponsor one or two kids, or you would have persons that are well off or can afford it. We can take on one more kid, or we don't have any kids and we can afford to pay the tuition for one child. And so that's how I was able to get private education. And I know my school didn't rank so high up, but
that might be biased. But go ahead.
But I was very grateful because there was a complete, like, it was a complete difference with the kind of upbringing that I had. And it was very unstable moving from the family island here, missing school a lot of the times, homelessness. So it really was my second chance at life. I always say at Ranfurly, it was like a do-over because I had private education. I had people that cared, counseling, mentors. So education was a big thing for me. And I excelled. I graduated as a prefect of Temple Christian with a high GPA. And then I just continued to further my education. So I got full funding from the Lyford Key Foundation for my bachelor's degree. And then I went on to do the master's after that. Good. So education is important.
In terms of the homes, and I know there are several homes in the Bahamas, right?
Yes.
And Ranfurly is the biggest home and has a number. How many
kids
are in life? I mean, typically in Ranfurly?
So typically we host about like 25-ish. When I was a child, we always sat around 30, 32, 33. But now lately it's been about 25, but now our count is a little bit lower, so we're down to 20, but we just accepted two kids in the last week. So since we're getting ready to go to school, is about to open, you have a lot of the kids that are coming from the younger homes. So Ranfurly and Elizabeth Estate Children's Homes, we have ages 12 to 18, and then the Nazareth Center and the Children's Emergency Hostel in Carmichael have newborn babies until the age of 11, 12. So that's like primary school. And so once they are ready for junior school, we do the transfer where they either come to us or they come to Elizabeth Estates Children's Home. So we just took two in the last week.
And how is it decided that a child goes to which school? Because I know they go to a range of different schools. Because I've met, engaged with children who were at the home,
yes,
who attended.
Yes, former residents.
Sinan's.
QC, yes. Like different schools.
So how did they get there?
So it's quite, I mean, sometimes we give the children a choice. Like, we'll ask them, like, hey, do you have, like, a school in mind that you would like to go to? And it's if it's favorable, then, yeah, like, we will have them, like, sit the entrance exam. So we sometimes
So they do sit the entrance exam? Okay.
Yeah, so they would sit the exam for the school in order to be accepted. And then, like, a few of our kids are at Blairwood Academy, which, you know, their model is different. It's, like, meet the child where they are, smaller classroom. And they also cater to persons that may be on the spectrum or have learning challenges. And so quite a few of our kids go there. So sometimes, like, depending on where they are, they would have to go into Blairwood. Like, it's, you know, like, we don't have pretty much a choice. But, like, for some of the other kids that are, like, on the normal level or, you know, a little bit, I guess, up there, we would allow them to at least have a choice and have a say in where they want to go.
And I'm going to not ask you this question, but ask Siobhan this question. With you being listening to the question, because technically I'm asking you, right?
Yes.
But due to your position, Siobhan, why do parents with means do not choose public schools? And see, I don't want to ask that too. And so someone had to know why they don't choose public schools instead of private schools. But Siobhan, why do parents choose, parents with means, that is, who can afford the school fee, choose private institutions?
I mean, I know that there are a lot of persons that perceive, for whatever reason, private schools to be more safe. They perceive the quality of education to be different. Not saying that it is, but that is the perception. And then there's also social interaction. Some people feel that their children will have a different social network when they go to a private versus a public school. So those are some of the reasons why those things. And then, of course, there's legacy. So some persons, their family are attached to a particular school, religious, right? So I'm Anglican, I'm going to choose an Anglican school. I'm Catholic, I'm going to choose a Catholic school. Or my family all went to this school. So I don't know that it's always one is better than the other. I think it's a myriad of decisions why someone picked private versus public.
And talking about Renfrewshire and they having the consulates there, does grade matter? Do you have like a sit down, like, you know, like how you have parents? Because you know these children are ward of the state. They have consulates and mentors within the system. Right. But parents are vested in their own children and say, hey, I want my child at a particular level. So yeah. I'm interested in making sure that they learn.
Yes.
But at the home,
yeah.
Is there someone to say, no, you need to be doing better.
Yes.
I can pull you because you're not being aggressive in terms of how you study.
Education is extremely important to us. Like our kids, like we, in a way, our kids are sheltered. But on the other hand, the team, make sure that they understand that in life you are dealt a deck of cards. And sometimes it's not considered fair because you're not dealt the best hand. But you have to make the most of your life and your experiences and the opportunities you're giving. We do have an education coordinator. So we've had someone on our team that has a background in education, that has taught in the school system for a very long time. And that position is not filled at the moment, but we're currently like hiring and looking for another education coordinator. But I would say the whole team at Randfully, we push education. After the kids are home from school and the bus brings them home, they have a snack period in the afternoon. And right after the snack period, they go into study hall, which is a period for approximately 2 hours where they study before dinner. And if there's any other work that needs to be done afterwards, they can use the computer lab. They can be able to get some help. There's tutors in the afternoon. So we have English, math, science. We have persons that are there specifically helping with the BGCSE and the BJC exam. So education is important, and the entire team push education. But I would say I was very proud because someone asked this recently just about the grade system. When I was a child there, it was like a bit of a challenge. But I would say like now our kids understand that education is their ticket out.
I want you to repeat that because I'm not sure if Bahamians appreciate that anymore. Is education the ticket out? Because I could say, man, I don't necessarily need any BGCSEs. I can find a job in the hotel, right? You're yeah. pushing this education is important narrative yes. too much. But what is it?
I think education is freedom. I'm not saying that you can't like become successful, you can't like graduate and be able to have a business or work under family. But for our kids and for me, like I never had like, you know, family support. I don't have a crutch. I didn't have someone to say, I can come and live with you. Like if this doesn't work out, it's like it was me against the world. And so I would encourage our kids, because their situation is the way it is, to always have education because it's always something to fall back on. Also, I think like going to university really like sharpened my critical thinking skills and allow me to see the world in a different perspective. So just how I approach situations, how I approach life and people, I find that there's been value in the education that I got.
Let me go back to Siobhan. Siobhan, you took an elite route for your children. You had a little bit of dollars, and you sent your child to Tambly, which is not an ordinary private school, you know? And then you sent one or two of them to a boarding school because you want them to get access to a different type of education. Why you send them to boarding school?
Actually, every year there's a boarding school fair, and my daughter got a scholarship.
Oh, she gets scholarship!
That's awesome.
Yeah, and so I feel that exposure is just good. Because outside of education, I'm a strong believer that travel and exposure to other cultures makes you a better, more well-rounded person. So by the time my daughter went, she went in grade 11, actually, she was already a developed person. So I sent a very bright, confident child to the U.S. to finish her schooling. So I think that if and I don't think it's for every child, right? Because the exposure could also work the other way. If you're not grounded in your culture and your values and you start to see all these other cultures and values, it could throw you off. But I was confident at that time that my daughter was okay and that this would, you know, help her. But my son went to Xavier's. He started in actually a Montessori school. So when he went to Xavier's, a Catholic, you know, a more rigid structured system, he didn't like it at first. But one thing I do give credit to is that math system in the Catholic school, that Simple Solutions is the book. I don't know if they still use it. That mental math nut training, I think was very good. So my son left here and finished high school in the U.S. as well. He was very good in science. And I think at the time I made the decision, I didn't want him to go, but the STEM programs were much more advanced. And so I let him go because of that. And it was his passion. So I was blessed to have kids that knew. I fed that into them, and they knew kind of what the direction they wanted to go in from an earlier age or what their strengths was. But I honestly feel that education is a very neutralizing thing, as the guest has said. The more educated you are and the more you have critical thinking and problem-solving skills, it neutralizes. If I could quickly tell a joke, one day at The Guardian, there was the QC versus, I think it was BAISS sports meet. So there was the QC SAC argument going on. And then Candia Dame stood out and said, but you're all reporting to the girl that graduated from HO Nash. So I thought that was funny.
Okay, I'm reading this text. You know when you come across some text and you sigh? Call, I come to you right now. I got Kermit prepped to call right now and let you all respond, right? Because sometimes I just can't respond to every text I get, right? It's like, good morning, CA. The Haitians who have the will to learn and work have been finding jobs in the Bahamas. People like you, with all the education in the world, cannot find a real job because you caught up on what people think on what you're doing. Train up, CA. You see the tradesman before, and while you're going to Guardian and selling the Guardian. See what I got to deal with there? You see it, right? Right? And this is why I said we need to start having a better educational system. Siobhan, you see what I got to deal with?
Yeah. They went far left quick on you.
I have to be up to pitch like Job. I'd be praying on the show sometimes. Lord, help me.
And before.
Let's go to this texter. I mean, this caller here. Go ahead, caller. Garden Rear AM, you live? I'm doing well.
This is a very, 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 very extreme, important topic and conversation you guys are having right now, right? I'm going to tell you why, right? I'm going to give you several examples also. It's very important to have basic education. You don't have to go extreme and get a college degree or master's or whatever, right? But you have to have basic education, basic reading skills, basic math, and also basic comprehension. I'm going to give you a couple of prime examples right now, right? I went to a restaurant the other day, right? And I asked for, say, a number one, right? I gave the lady $100, right? The lady gave me back $100. The lady couldn't count. I went to another particular restaurant, right? The lady had a problem reading, and she couldn't comprehend things what people were actually saying to her, right? I'm also going to give you another prime example. Every, almost Bahamians, right, their favorite thing is to do is get a good government job, right? In order to have a good government job nowadays, right, government is now moving on to getting papers. Whereas that if you don't have any papers on the job, you'll be a general service worker, which means that they could actually send you out to cut grass. If you have your paperwork, if you don't have any papers, you'll actually be stagnated on promotions. So you watch all your other co-workers get promoted and increments, and while you're stuck or just seem sorry for the rest of your life. The grandfather clause is now being discontinued, whereas that you would probably wait 10, 15, 20 years just for one promotion. So getting an education is very, very extremely important. Even Sebas Bastian recognizes that you need basic skills.
Okay, thank you very much.
When you graduated from school, living at the home, right, and they saw that you were smart, that you wanted to pursue more education. In the Bahamas, we have a growing amount of students who are on the spectrum, so you have to identify what they need in order to be successful,
yeah,
right? I want to know two forms. One, does the home need more sponsors to help students there to get access to education? Two, what programs do you all have in the institution to make sure that nobody falls through the cracks? And then post graduation, what does the home do in order to ensure that the wards, I hate using that word, or the children there are able to get to the next level in terms of education?
So I'll go back a little bit. Like when I was a child, I actually wanted to pursue medicine. So I was really good at science. I got accepted into Spartan Medical University in St. Lucia with a partial scholarship. But the system at the time wasn't in place in order for me to go over there and have the success and have, you know, the support I needed at the time. Now we have a transitional home, and our comprehensive care has gone beyond just the basic necessities, so food, shelter, water, clothing. Now we are interested in their future, and so we help with the job placements, we help with education, and so making sure that they are getting accepted into university if they want to go abroad. We've been working with lots of persons and universities to do that. In the last years, we've had several of our boys have went off to university in the U.S. and
really?
They're excelling, yes.
Good.
So they're doing very well. And so now that option is there. In terms of the kids falling through the cracks, that's not happening because every time a child enters the system, they are assessed, properly assessed. We have counselors, we have psychiatrists, we have persons that are ensuring that they are operating at the level they should. And if we see a gap, we'll make sure that they get the help. And that's why at least 7 of our kids right now is attending Blairwood Academy because they were a little bit behind, and we just want to make sure that they get up to speed or just may have been on the spectrum. You know, if I could say that.
Yeah.
It's not confidential, but like a few of our kids are on the spectrum, so they're attending Blairwood Academy. So no child is left behind. Like, we push education so much. I would say right now what we would need, I always ask for like mentors and volunteers to come on board, but even persons that have a history, a background in education, and maybe they're retired, maybe they have extra time. Someone just told me, I saw her in a store the other day, and she said, I was always a part of the reading program at Ranfurly, and now I'm assisting with the reading program in the public education. And she said, I think you guys should reinstate that. Like, and she asked about the kids and how they're doing. I would say that most of our kids, if not all, are excelling. And I will tell you the truth, because when we needed help, we were here. We're always here asking and truthful. They've really improved so much because we've put such an emphasis on education. But I would say like more so like persons who have time and the resources to just come on property. Maybe it's even like budgeting lessons. So for our seniors that are getting ready to transition out the home, they need to, or going in our transitional home, which you know is at the back of the property, the step home, just helping them with budgeting so that they know what the cost of milk is and how you choose this butter versus that butter in the grocery store. So things like that, because our team is very small and it is, you know, nonprofit. So we really need help from the public.
So you still need help and support.
Yeah, I would always say.
Where do they call? We're going to the next caller now. Caller, I'm coming to you. But if I wanted to support, I'm listening now.
Yes.
Right? And especially when I started that conversation about trade schools and people who do
skill set
training, I want to know how do you get in contact with someone at home?
So they would simply call 393-3115. Again, that's 393-3115. And you can ask for Berniska Bullard. That's who you're speaking with and listening to this morning. And we will be happy to facilitate you guys and welcome you.
Okay, let's go to this call and I'll go to Siobhan in terms of academia versus trade school. And this narrative that you don't need to be smart to go to a trade school. You just need to say, I just want to do a skill. And I say, man, you should be able to read and write. Mm-hmm. We can talk about that, Siobhan. Let's go to this caller first. Go ahead, caller. Guiding Radio AM.
Good afternoon to all of you. Nuri, you heard that? No one is left behind.
I appreciate that.
Man, listen, when you hear something like that coming from an educator, you kind of like want to wonder where they've been all the while. You know, because there's some of us who were never felt like we belong. Like, you know, if let's suppose now you would think of someone like Papa Doc and believe that all Haitians are like Papa Doc. You would think of someone like Benjamin Netanyahu and think that all Israelis are like Benjamin Netanyahu. You think about America and believe that all Americans are like Donald Trump, but that's not true. And education helps you to cipher this out and realize that you have to deal with life as it sits in front of you on a daily moment basis. And if you were trained with certain skills because you were not left behind, then you were able to adapt. But what I see happening in the Bahamas, in my opinion, there are a lot of individuals, because we're so multicultural, who just aren't able to adapt. They can't pivot to what's really in front of us. And I think that really makes someone who's really educated not being able to just grasp that moment to look bad for the rest of their life because they didn't use a little bit of patience. But I want to ask your guest something. What do we do with persons who have been so fixated in their way of doing things to the point where they will follow a leader to hell and they will tell you, come, go with us? I'm not speaking to anybody in particular, but what do you do when you're facing a world with leadership that is deliberately, blatantly showing you that they really don't care about anything that's good overall, but just the self-interest? How do you stop that from happening but before they get in the 60s, you know, and become legal-minded and be able to get all twisted up? Could you tell me, how do you see that and stop that?
Okay, I appreciate
all right,
you.
I'll listen.
I'll have Siobhan tackle that, and also, Siobhan, I find one of the issues, in happening to the Bahamas is we don't know what we are lacking in terms of what we need, right? There are times we say, okay, we need more trade operators, but what trade? Have anyone assessed the Bahamas to say, well, we need more marine mechanics to fix boat engines because we are archipelago? I don't know any school that teaches people how to fix a boat engine in New Providence. I just don't know. And I appreciate that they say, okay, we need more plumbers and we need more electricians. But what type of electricians? What type of plumbers, right? Is it the boiler rooms in the hotels that we need specialty in? I know in the hotels, there are limited people who can fix the elevators. You see the Hispanic people coming in from wherever they come in to fix the elevators straight throughout the Bahamas. Who is doing the census in the Bahamas in terms of, okay, we can teach trade, but what trade there is? Siobhan, you there?
And I'm sorry I don't have it in front of me, but I believe it was the IDB that did a study on, I think it was called Careers of the Future. So I think surveys and studies are very important. This is, you know, there's a research element to UB. I think that a lot of their research isn't well known, but I think that that's a great starting point to say, you know, we had old mechanics and plumbers, a lot of them are dying out. You know, are we replenishing them with skilled tradesmen? I think BTVI has grown and has done well. I taught at BTVI for one semester, and there was this perception before I went there that you didn't need to know the technical stuff. Well, I taught accounting. Like, you need to know how to manage your money, how to manage expenses. And the students to this day, I still have students that I taught that semester that still reach out to me, have been promoted on their job. So I think we're starting to change the mindset that a trade skilled or skilled job is lesser than some form of traditional academic job. And as it relates to the caller's question, you know, I think I've been pretty consistent in terms of what I think about leaders and who they are. And like, you know, we select the leaders. The leaders come to us as they are. And if we don't like something about them, it's for us to, I still hold us accountable for accepting any leadership skill that we do not approve of. So I don't really, I think leaders are both born and cultivated. But if you have someone that lacks the leadership skills that you admire or respect, you are still a part of the problem if you leave them where they are. Because they are already, at a certain age, you're already who you are. Your motivation, everything's already shaped.
Okay, thanks. I have one more caller here. I'm going to ask Bernice a question too, because you mentioned nobody's left behind at the Randfully Home. But at the Randfully Home, we have a segment, small segment, of students, right, who are of an immigrant background, right? And if they are of an immigrant background, they have what I call immigrant issues in terms of paperwork, in terms of when they turn 18, they ain't really behaving, right? And I want you to comment on that, because you say y'all don't leave them behind.
Yes.
I want to know if y'all help people like that who were in the system, who became a ward of the state. The state has a duty of care to them. Right? And some scholarships only Bahamians can get. It's for Bahamians, right? And if they're 17, 18 transitioning and they from an immigrant background, what kind of help you giving them? But let's go to this caller first. But that's your question, by the way.
Okay.
Oh, caller, hang up. Okay. Since you hang up, caller, it's coming to you. I got to let... Okay, caller, call back. let me get this. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Listen, I just wanted to comment. I think this is a timely topic, and I think your guest here, Ron, hit something, hit the nail on the head about having the ability to have your child or children go off to see different cultures. You know, it develops their leadership skills, their critical thinking. And the reason why I called a comment on that, I was somewhat disappointed in that. My daughter is currently off to the university, and that was my dream of thought. Number one, to make sure that she's positioned as a female in any economy and able to kind of hold her own and really to have a seat at the table and have the acumen by having the credentials behind it. But also, I think it's time for our Ministry of Education to review some of the scholarships in terms of what they allow on the international market. I was really disappointed to find out that under the business management curriculum or course, that it is not, they don't grant scholarships internationally. And I was kind of blown away to know that you would kind of have a course curriculum along that line just locally, right? And I think we're doing some of our children a disservice by cherry-picking certain fields and not allowing certain fields or all really to be have an opportunity to go at the international level. But if that's a topic you could look at for another day in terms of really the scholarship that's being awarded by the government, I think it's time to revisit some of those courses that they allow internationally and what they allow locally. I think we're doing a disservice to some of the children. But I'll finish listening to the show. Very good show.
Thank you very much. I can let Siobhan tackle that after Bernishka, talk about how we're not letting anyone get left behind.
So this is a challenge for us. I'm not going to lie, because you can't go against the system. And as much as we love
that, there's rules and laws.
There's rules and laws in place. So actually, social services are supposed to be handling, because these are wards of the state. You don't like to use that term. But they're wards of the state, which means that they are responsible for them, although they're in our care. legally. And so they're supposed to be handling the background information, actually connecting with the family, reaching out to relatives to get the appropriate documents that is necessary in order to process this citizenship. But we've been doing it. Because, again, we don't want our kids to be left behind. So we've had to have like a different approach to it, a very hands-on approach, and been very proactive with social services and reminding them of documents and trying to connect with families. So normally it is not supposed to be like that, but we are trying to do our best. We do have some connections that allows us to be able to expedite certain processes, but it's the same way for all of our kids as it is for the public. There's a process and it takes time.
Process and it takes time. I just want to know or be self-assured that at least you will help. And clearly you are intimately
yes,
helping
we
to assist. Yes. We're going to take this quick commercial break. Call ICU. You might wish to call on the other side of the break as we talking to Ms. Brinishka Bullard from the Rand Fully Home. She is the official title?
Brand Ambassador.
Brand Ambassador. And we're talking to Siobhan Johnson, who's my co-host today, who's a risk management specialist. And we use her expertise to analyze situations that's happening in the Bahamas. She's calling me from abroad. She's joining us via Zoom. And we're going to be right back.
They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Rona. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Rona today.
Attention, Island Game players. Percy's Pension Plan is now accepting applications. Deposit $25 and you are officially in the running for a weekly salary of up to $1,000 a week for a full year. Applications close September 8th. Apply now at theislandgame.com.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
We're going to give you a check every week for a year.
Percy's Pension Plan, Island Game, keep you winning. Percy's Pension Plan, dream big, we will help you live it. Percy's Pension Plan, Island Game, we got you. Percy's Pension Plan, from the friends you can trust. If winning is a must, go play the game you know, cause your best chance is with us. The most trustworthy name is Percy's Island Game. So put 20 on your account and ride this easy train at Percy's Island Game.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
And welcome back to the Bahamas. Welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. Premiering next week, Monday, strictly speaking, will be with Earl Thompson. It's going to start at 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday to Thursday. And, of course, on Friday, Talk to Me with Gabby McKenzie-Innes. And that's going to be 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. That's beginning this Friday, September 4th. And coming on Sundays, beginning at September 6th, Uncle Sarah is with his new show called Unplugged from 5 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. Plus, stay tuned for more exciting news about our four lineup here on Guardian Radio 96.9. Let's go to the caller, then we go to Siobhan. So Siobhan can answer that question. And I'm going to preempt that question by saying something. Go ahead, caller. You're live.
Hi, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Good to have Ms. Johnson back again.
Yes, I enjoyed it.
So thank you for joining us from all the way over.
Yeah, man.
But my concern is, I heard you mention that no child left behind. That has been a slogan for a while. I don't know how much is being done to make sure that that's implemented. I think testing before a child even goes, you know, cognitive testing before a child even attends school will possibly make that, you know, more reality. Some children absolutely can't read it. You know, they can't. I mean, and you say, well, to get into BTVI, you're talking about being able to read and write. Some children are not able to. So where, what category do we put them in? You know, they've been struggling all their life with reading, and the system is not designed to say, hey, let's slow down and stop and just work with these children where they're at. And so, yes, they can have a conversation. They're good with their hands. They can do so many things. They're probably even good with sports, but the academic part of it is just a serious challenge. I know of a young person that's going to be 18 after school starts in September, meaning this school year. Challenges with academics. I hear about, you know, trying to point children in the direction of doing more hands-on and stuff like that, more trade. I would like the government to kind of look at the possibility of having them join BTVI, but then again, if the academics is a strong, strong situation, then that child is probably going to fail. But at least look at that happening, so when that child is completed, that young person is completed with school as a young adult, they'll be able to probably, they'll be more interested in staying in some kind of academic course or of some sort. That's just my two cents.
No, I appreciate your two cents. That can add up to this dollar.
CA,
go ahead.
May I say, I had the honor of serving on the National Literacy Committee last year, and the question about No Child Left Behind is something that's an area of focus. Certainly under the former Minister of Education, I assume it will continue. And it's very important because we can't put a patch on this. There are tons of organizations, the Bahamas Literacy Association, as a matter of fact, it's coming up, I think, next weekend, takes the time, and it's sponsored by Rotary. It's co-sponsored by Rotary and BLA. And they diagnose, because some persons, it's hearing, it's sight, it's autistic, you have all these issues. So a lot of times the child being left behind is for some either undiagnosed issue or something that's outside of the control of the parent. And so there are resources, but unfortunately, one of the things that was identified by the committee is how fragmented it is, or how we're all doing the same thing. And I think that we need to support these things that exist already and promote them more. Because a lot of people are frustrated, but help is available through a lot of programs, and especially with persons with PhDs in literacy. We need to make sure they're not in a classroom teaching something and they're actually being used, their expertise is being used to correct this problem, and it is correctable regardless of age.
Bullard, do you have 30 seconds to talk about Renfrew Home? Just 30 seconds, sir.
Okay, so I will say thank you guys for tuning in. Just don't forget about us. We're there on Mackey Street. You probably pass it all the time. Please come in, get involved, become a volunteer, even a mentor, or help us with our education.
I can help with donating money for the scholarship fund. Like, how do I do that?
Yes, so we do have tiers and like sponsorship and all that stuff. But all that information is on our website. If you want to donate like money, you can just simply come right through the gate. Clothing, groceries, just come through the gate.
I could donate groceries?
Yeah, anything. Use clothing too. We accept them. If they're in good condition, we'll wash them. Our kids appreciate them. So come by.
That's good to know. I didn't know I could do that.
Yeah.
Okay. That's been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Of course, that's Siobhan Johnson, who's co-hosting with me for the past couple of weeks. And of course, that's Miss Bernishka Bullard, who is the brand ambassador for the Rand Fully Home. I always like when you pass by the way. Thanks very much.
I love being here. Thank you for always answering.
My pleasure. This is Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Have a wonderful day.
Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.